would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, all right, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either going to kill or he's going to suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John forward.
And here we are on St. John Forward Radio. I am John Forward, the host of St. John Forward Radio, filling in for John Forward, spelled F-O-R-E-W-A-R-D. It was an obvious choice when he died in that terrible bus crash, and we didn't even need to change the name of the show. Just the spelling, but I don't think anybody noticed. So we're here. It's March 6th, 2017. I'm on potentially my last week of being off work, so trying to make the most of it. Got some applications in today. I sent in my t-shirt video to the t-shirt website to win a free t-shirt. So, it's been a productive today. Been a productive day today, I should say. And the comedy has still been going on. I only count that as a real job when I need to win an argument, so it doesn't count for my stress leave. On Wednesday night this past week, I went and I did a podcast with my friend Kalen Capson, who used to do H to the C with me. He's been doing these Pagan Place sessions. They actually started as an H to the C offshoot, where he'd have a musician in to talk about some stuff and play some songs. There's a few of those out on the podcast page if you look at that. But recently he's branched off onto his own, and I'm going to be the first Pagan Place talk, I guess, because I'm not a musician. So I went in, and the idea was for me to tell a story. I just did material. I did a bit that I had that was more story based, but really weird doing something that was written for the stage and for an audience to just sit down and just do material to my friend at a table and do a microphone. I don't know. So that was interesting. We talked and told a couple of stories, and it seemed like it was going well at the time, but we'll see how that turns out. I'm not sure when it's going to be released, but I'll be sharing it on Facebook, and I might even put it out as a St. John Forward Radio bonus episode in the feed for all three people that have an automatic subscription to that. So that was Wednesday. Then Thursday, went on a comedy road trip up to Fredericton to do the Wilser's Room. Rode up with Arif Hussein, Mandy Lynn Donovan, and James Hovey. Arif was stuck in the back seat with Mandy, so I'm sure he had a great time. Lots of good chats on the way up, and I did a set that that did well, and I got some good feedback, and I got some negative feedback. Thanks mostly in part to Arif Hussein, but a little bit more of Steve Fudge on Friday have shamed me for my stupid pandering ways, and it was kind of a dumb bit. It ends with me stripping down to a small pair of purple underwear and rubbing body oil on myself, which it's a stupid thing to do, but it got a laugh. And I was just debating whether or not it's okay to have one stupid thing to break out every now and then. It's good to have an extra tool in the toolbox. Nobody really gave me any grief about it, but I also kind of... This is the only bit where I have, I'm not sure how I'd put it, but the most unflattering way I can explain it is basically like, "Hey, aren't gay people weird?" type material that I'm very much not proud of. It's basically the premise of it is just that there are a lot of closet homosexual bodybuilders at my place where I go to the gym. I'm assuming, anyway, and I just had a thought one day that it's really funny that these guys think that being a bodybuilder helps them pass better as straight, and they're failing. But I don't know. I feel like the internet feminism has seeped into my brain, and it makes me ashamed of telling jokes like that. Because it is, I think they call it othering. I'm treating homosexual people like an other. So they are a separate group. They're an equal group, but I don't know. It's my own dumb thought. And then, the premise for taking off the clothes is that I want to do a bodybuilding show. So I take off my clothes and flex a bit. And that was that. It did well with the audience. Some of the comedians said that they were deeply ashamed of me. Some of the comedians said it was the best they'd ever seen me, so lots of mixed signals. One fellow comedian sat in the second row scowling and rolling her eyes the entire time, especially during the gay stuff, which maybe it deserved an eye roll, but it's hard to perform through that. I think I might have gotten a smile out of her once this clothes started to come off, but I'm not proud of it. I'm just... not sure. It's definitely not going to be part of the regular rotation, but I haven't decided yet whether I feel bad enough about it to bury it. My original plan was to use it as one of the 5-minute segments in the Battle of the Comedians that I'm doing at the Delta this Saturday in Fredericton. I feel like even if it is stupid, it's kind of a guaranteed crowd response, and if I want to win this contest, but do I really want to win this contest enough to sell my soul and do something that I'm not proud of? I don't know. I'm debating it, but so that happened on Thursday, and then Friday, RF is sending in messages. What was I going to say? That was Thursday night. Friday, we had No Jokes Barred Deluxe. It was at O'Leary's. We had Shane Ogden headlining. We had Marty D and Eric Chase on down from Moncton. I was hosting. That was the first time that was the shortened version of the show. We used to do three middle acts, but I found that the show was starting to drag on a little bit, so we're experimenting with keeping it shorter. Not a huge turnout for the show. The people that were there were game and laughed when they were supposed to, whether they meant it or not. And I had my bullhorn out. I was yelling at people in the street, and I managed to convince one lady off the street to come in. In retrospect, I'm not sure if that was a good idea or not. I think she was at the end of her evening and kind of seemed very intoxicated and was probably on her way home. And I had accosted her out front, and she said she had no interest in coming to the comedy show. And I made a comment about how she must live a very sad life if she doesn't like to laugh. And she laughed, and then she ended up coming in, but she was very loud and obnoxious, and we kind of worked with it, but I'm not sure if the show would have been better if people could have just gotten through their prepared material, or if having to deal with this this nutcase was worthwhile or not, but we'll talk some more about that with my guest, Mark Splude, who's here in the studio with me. He was at that show as a spectator, and I'm curious to know what his point of view on my terrible hack comedy skills are. And so you can say hello, Mark Splude, and then,
well, hello there,
just to prove that he's really here.
I am here.
But we're gonna take a quick musical break before I always do
this. I just got on here.
I always do it. You say hello. That's the format, Mark.
All right.
You listen to me talk for 10 minutes.
It's been a joy.
And then you come on and I tease you with a little bit of mic time.
Okay, all right.
And then I play a song and then we talk.
Are we playing my song?
No. We'll get you to set that up.
Oh, okay,
that'll
all right.
be the first break after we have a real conversation so that you can set it up and tell me why you wanted to play it and tell me how many beats per minute it is.
All right, beautiful.
All right, so for I think you'll like this song, though.
All right.
We're going to play a song by McCluskey, and it is called To Hell With Good Intentions.
Nice.
On St. John Forward Radio. Hopefully. Come on. Why isn't this working? What am I doing wrong this time? Oh, source. Always something screws up with the first song, but there we go.
Nice.
We are back, St. John Forward Radio. By we, I mean me, John Forward, and my guest, Mark Splude. Hello again.
Oh, hey there, John.
So you had some comments on the Wilser's Room set.
Well, yeah. So you stripped right down, did you, to your underwear?
I did the same thing at the R Bar. Before,
okay, yeah, and that was my question. That's what I wanted to ask you. You've done that one time before.
It was the same thing, slightly more fleshed out.
Right.
Pun intended.
I don't think you had the baby. Oh,
jeez. No, the baby oil was a new addition.
Yeah, right. So, but here's my question, because you mentioned when you were in Fredericton that you had purple underwear on. You stripped down to purple underwear on.
Yeah.
Now, if I remember at the R Bar, you were also wearing the purple underwear
same underwear.
You stripped down. So why are you going with the same underwear every time?
I bought that underwear specifically for that.
Oh, okay. So you don't normally wear that type of underwear is what
no.
you're saying. All right.
I wear more modest boxer briefs usually.
Right. Yeah, that's what I go for, the boxer briefs, too. I just thought it was weird that, you know what I mean? Like, if you do that set enough times, people are going to think that's all you wear is that one pair of purple underwear, John.
Well, no, that's selected. I was going to buy a Speedo when I went out that day, but a Speedo costs like $50.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive, actually.
It wasn't worth it. And I saw this little tiny pair of purple underwear for like $7, so I went with those.
Cheap bastard. So here's something else I wanted to know about the Wilser's Room So you're standing on stage, pretty intimate setting there in the Wilsers room. How were people feeling when you started, you know, pulling the jersey off, undoing the belt?
Well,
what were you seeing out there?
I was more paying attention to what I was doing myself. It felt like there was laughs happening.
Right.
And I did it in phases. First, I just started flexing with my clothes on as if I'm in this bodybuilding competition. And then, you know, using my expert mime skills, I convey to the audience, oh, wait, something is missing. And then I take off my shirt and do it again for a couple of seconds. And then, oh, no, no, it's still not quite. And then I go for the belt and they don't think I'm going to do it. And then I take off my pants because I'm such a renegade like that. And then, as if that's not enough, I go for the baby oil and smear that all over my body and finish off the flexing. And
so you didn't see any like horrified looks from people in the crowd while you were
not horrified. Well, except for RF, no.
Yeah.
Mandy Lynn was right up front.
She would have been pictures. Right up front for that.
Speaking of, RF sent in some comments over the wire here. He says, tell Stupid that he can do all the gay commentary without taking his clothes off. Just describe it rather than actually stripping. Or try this. Just describe oiling your body and the sweat mixing with the tears as your skin stretched. Just describe it like someone would in gay erotica.
See, RF has terrible comedy advice anyway, so you don't want to listen to him. Now, here's something else I wanted to talk to you about, John, because you mentioned you went to the gym. Now, this is all news to me. What gym are you going to?
Good Life. I've been going to the gym for, like, since I wrote the cheeseburger bit many moons ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, pardon me for not really noticing, John, but are you going there and doing, like, strict cardio, or are you throwing around some heavy weights? What are you doing at the gym there?
Well, I used to, it's been slack since before Christmas when I hurt my back and then never really got as far back into it. This week I usually, if I'm going often enough, I'll alternate because I go on my lunch break and I do like just cardio once. And then on the alternate day, I just do like the 9-machine circuit thing that they have set up.
Where a little bit of biceps, a little bit of both.
If I'm going on a day off, like I went a couple of days this week, I did both in one visit.
Yeah. But
I don't have time to do that if I'm on an hour lunch break.
Yeah, that's true. Now, quick question. RF doesn't go to the gym. Do you think you could take RF? Like who kicks whose ass here? You or RF?
Is it a weightlifting competition?
No. No rules. Street fight.
Street fight?
No rules.
I don't know. I'm gonna say probably myself.
Yeah.
RF might yell at me and he might make me cry. So that's that's part of his defense. But he doesn't. I don't know what kind of muscles that he's got underneath those sweaters that he wears all the time. I'm not sure.
The guy wears like 4 sweaters every day at the same time.
He does wear a lot of sweaters. It's very cold here in Canada.
Okay, I got to take you to task on something else here, too.
Yeah.
Othering. You said something that was othering. What in the hell is othering?
Well,
and why do you know about it?
It's 2017, Mark.
Right.
I'm a pretty progressive guy.
Sure. And, well, me too. I know.
Yeah, you're the most progressive person I know. I don't know. Just the idea of even if it's not hateful, just kind of separating and like putting gay people over and a fence over here, like they're
categorizing people.
There's this other, not really, I don't even know. I'm not good at explaining it, but it just feels like it's kind of low hanging fruit to do, like, man, this bodybuilders is so gay type material.
Oh, listen, yeah. Oh, your bit is lowbrow for sure.
Yeah.
But the thing, like this othering business,
well, just
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I feel like I don't think it's homophobic necessarily, but it's something.
Right. And now I want to ask you a serious question. Where did you hear this othering term?
I don't know. Seems like something I picked up on the internet.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not even sure if I'm using it correctly.
Sure. I got to look into this now. I got to look into this now, this othering business.
Well, do we do you want to play your song request and take a quick Google break?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm going to be holding your feet to a few fires here after this song, by the way.
Fair enough. why don't you tell us what the song is?
My song selection is Drake. And much to my surprise, I like Drake. I didn't know that until about 3 weeks ago.
I like some songs. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like the R&B like singing version of Drake, but I like the rapping version of Drake.
I like it when he raps aggressively. Yeah. And what I love about this song is that he's rapping aggressively, but the song is really low key.
Yeah.
And that's why it's my choice. Plus the lyrics, you know, they kind of speak to me a little too. You know, well, not all the N words. But, you know, some of the lyrics, they speak to me.
So what you're saying is that you are not an N-word?
I am not. Well, listen, I don't want to be othering anybody either.
Yeah.
So well, I think we're all N-words, aren't we? That's all inclusive, right?
Well, Marilyn Manson says that everybody's someone else's N-word. So
that's a pretty good quote. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, that's from Irresponsible Hate Anthem.
Okay.
That's the name of the song.
Right.
But we're not talking about that song right now, John.
We're talking about Drake, good Canadian boy.
Let's do it, and we're going to get our CanCon for the episode right with the request.
Awesome.
So, St. John Forward Radio. This isn't a hit, is it?
Pardon me?
Is this a hit?
I don't think so.
Does it have like a music video?
Yeah, it does have a music video.
Well,
we can't play hits?
I've not supposed to play top 40 hits. I think
this is like 43 or 44.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard it before, and if anything, I am plugged into popular musics of today.
Oh, you're with it, baby.
Let's play it. Worst case scenario, this will count for the 10% that the station is allowed as a whole.
There you go. In the clear.
My guest requested it, and he says number 43 is where it peaked, so we're good.
Liquid means rewind, a gunshot means forward. You requested it, so we rewind.
Yeah. Way, way, way up. Turn it all up. Yeah. Look, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies. Got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy. They're trying to take away from a nigga. Fucking with the kid and pray for your nigga. I got girls in real life trying to fuck up my day. Fuck going online, that ain't part of my day. I got real shit popping with my family too. I got niggas that can never leave Canada too. I got 2 mortgages, 30 million in total. I got niggas that'll still try fucking me over. I got rap niggas that I gotta act like I like. But my acting days are over, fuck them niggas for life. Yeah, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies. Got a lot of people trying to drain me of this energy. Trying to take away from a nigga. Fucking with the kid and pray for your nigga. I got people talking down, man, like I give a fuck. I bought this one a purse, I bought this one a truck. I bought this one a house, I bought this one a mall. I keep buying shit, just make sure you keep track of it all. I got bitches asking me about the code for the Wi-Fi, so they could talk about their timeline and show me pictures of their friends, just to tell me they ain't really friends. Ex-girl, she the female version of me. I got strippers in my life, but they virgins to me. I hear everybody talking about what they gon' be. I got high hopes for you niggas, we gon' see. I got money in the court, so all my niggas are free. About to call your ass a Uber, I got somewhere to be. I hear fairy tales about how they gon' run up on me. Well, run up when you see me, then we gon' see. I got enemies, got a lot of enemies. Got a lot of people trying to drain me of this energy. Trying to take away from a nigga. Fucking with the kid and pray for your nigga. Nah, fuck all of you niggas, I ain't finished. Y'all don't wanna hear me say it's a go. Y'all don't wanna see win-win 50 or woe. I got real ones living past Kennedy Row. I got real ones with me everywhere that I go. I'm tryna tell you, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies. Every time I see them, something wrong with their memory. Tryna take the way from a nigga. So tired of saving all these niggas, Mike. Yeah, run up.
I got
got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of this energy, trying to take away from a nigga, fucking with the kid and pray for your nigga.
I'm off this one.
Oh, hey folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to 107.3 Tough Guy.
Well, that was a great segue there by the Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I'm guessing it probably wasn't really Hacksaw Jim Duggan that said that. Or was it a good impression?
Sure, yeah, man, it sure sounded like him. And in fact, Jim Duggan was in town here, I'm going to say about 2 years ago. Okay. I brought my boy to LBR to see a small regional show, and Hacksaw was the headliner.
That's entirely there is a wrestling show on this station. I forget what it's called, but Malcolm from Hoveland does it.
Oh, Malcolm does it. Okay. That probably was okay. Hacksaw.
Well, then that's extra impressive then.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So you had some more things to grill me about.
Yeah, I'm not really grilling you, but I something I do want to talk to you about. You're going to do your Battle of the Comedians at the Delta in Fredericton is this coming Saturday?
Yes.
And who are you battling against again?
Corey Hartland and Jimmy McKinley.
Oh, okay. All right. And what do you think your odds of winning this battle are? I hope you do, because I want to see you in the finals.
I think I can. I just, I don't know as far as odds go. It depends on a lot of factors. It depends on what the audience is in for.
Like, yeah.
Where Jimmy and Corey have probably a similar fan base, I guess.
Yeah.
So if the audience is stacked with people who like the type of humor that Corey and Jimmy do, then it's obviously not going to go my way.
Yeah, that wouldn't really be a fair fight.
But it is what it is, but if it's a bunch of John Forward fans, the 80 people who went to see my headline show almost a year ago. It'll be a year in April, and well, of those 80, not the 27 that walked out. And there's probably some people that toughed it out and didn't enjoy it, but there was probably a solid 30 people that were in that room that
were digging it. So if those 30 bring 30 friends, and those 60 people can convince 20 other people.
But I don't know. I've been doing pretty well lately, so I think. But like I heard you talk about it on your podcast. You were the winner of the previous round, and
right.
You had some mixed feelings on that. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, man. Well, I just didn't like. I mean, I had a great time. I mean, you know, Troy puts on a great show at the Delta. You know what it's like, and I don't know. There's just something. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of weird how you're stuck on stage watching the other comics as well, and then you do another set and sit down, and you know. But at the end, the crowd decides who wins, and fair enough. That's cool. No big deal. But then, like, Troy raised my arm on stage, and there's, you know, Arif and Matt Richardson sitting. Like, I don't know. It just made me feel strange about the whole deal, and I just stormed off the stage, you know. It was a little weird.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing where if you're not super proud of your win, you're kind of a jerk. But if you are, you're like, well, yeah, I'm the best one. Screw you,
yeah,
other people.
Yeah, it's a tough place, like, to celebrate, you know, defeating your friends, right?
Yeah.
And, I didn't really care for it. I mean, I liked the show as a concept, but, me personally, I felt kind of weird at the end.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's just a show. I kind of like the idea of it. It's a good kind of, it's an interesting thing to get people there. It's a different
it's like a theme
show.
Right, it's like any theme really.
And I've done them before a couple of times at different venues with Troy, and it was interesting, and they were those were much smaller shows, and I don't know, I was just treating it like a show and I didn't really care. But part of me
did you win those battles?
I don't think I did. I don't remember what really happened at the Elks Club ones that he did. I don't think I won any of those. The last one that I did, it was one that Arif was on. It was when Arif lost the sponsor for Troy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that one was almost like a draw, and I just ceded the win to Vince. It was close. It could have been either way, but I didn't. I just.
You conceded defeat to Vince, kind of giving him the victory.
Well, it's not that he didn't earn it. It was just, it was so close.
And now he's a big pro comic in North Bay or something, isn't he now? Or
yeah, I don't know. I haven't been following the, I see his posts come up every now and then.
But, yeah, right.
Vince, if you're listening.
We love you,
he's
Vince.
Probably not, though.
He's definitely not listening. In my personal opinion, John, I think you should do that bit. You should strip down, like maybe your middle bit or maybe close with it, because I think it'll set you apart. You know, Jimmy and Corey, in my opinion, don't take huge risks up there. If you were to take that risk, man, that might put you over the top, you know? I mean, listen, you haven't done that room since, like, for a year, right?
Yeah.
And you have grown leaps and bounds in that year, man. You're really winning crowds over. I think that could put you over the top. That's my opinion.
Well, that was the reason why I was thinking about doing it, but part of me, and after having talked to RF and Steve, I'm just, their point was that I don't need to go there to be good, which, sure.
Well, but you know that, but that's okay.
My point was on Friday when we were talking about it is just, is there anything wrong with doing a dumb bit for dumb people every now and then?
Yeah.
I gotta win over those dummies.
I do the same thing, John. Now, listen, I don't, you know, stand around in pink underwear or anything, or purple or whatever you're wearing, but, you know, I do, I get the crowd to, you know, repeat what I say and their stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have little things like that. As long as you're not leaning on stuff like that for every bit, you know, in every set you do, I think it's fine.
Yeah, but it is, like, it's not something if, like, tomorrow I was offered, like, a Netflix special or something. I don't think that one would be included.
You don't think it would make the cut?
I don't want that one to be on the record necessarily as part of the John Forward oeuvre.
Yeah, that's like an extra special thing for people come out and see you live, right? You can't get this on the special, but if you want to see John's bare chest all oiled up, and I can't imagine why anybody would, by the way. But if you do, you know, you got to come out and see the show. Yeah. I think it's a good angle. When is your Netflix special, by the way?
2035.
You got to have goals, I guess, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like doing something that I'm not entirely happy with just for the sake of winning a contest that I shouldn't really care about anyway.
Sure.
It's morally questionable.
Well, you shouldn't care about it, but let's be honest here, you do care about it.
A little right? bit.
Sure.
Well, mostly just because I've lost every contest that I've ever I've ever come within 10 feet of.
And you're definitely due for a win.
It would be nice just once to be able to say, this is the thing that it doesn't matter, but I want it.
Yeah. Well, and Jimmy, he's been running pretty hot lately at Harbor Station and all these, you know, yuck yucks all the time and all these shows, so it would be nice to you know, to say, well, hey, the crowd choose, you know, they chose me over him.
Yeah, like
it's kind of gratifying, you know. And Jimmy's a great guy. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love me some Jimmy McKinley. But it, that would still be a great thing for you to say, hey, you know, this crowd chose me, even though this guy's been to, you know, Harbor Station and all this business.
Yeah, I could put that as my email signature. Like Jimmy McKinley is good, but I beat him that one time at the Battle of the Comedians Part 3 at the Delta in Fredericton.
Just everything. Just sign it. Hashtag I beat Jimmy.
Yeah. And Corey too. Let's not discount him. But yeah,
oh, Corey's great. Corey's a great
Jimmy's
comic.
Jimmy's been
man.
Getting a lot of attention on himself. So, as much as I don't want to be in competition with someone that I consider a friend of mine, I think it'd be nice to win.
Yeah. So now, if you do win,
and then in theory we could go on, and I could face you and Marty D in the final battle.
Yeah.
And
that would be great. If the show shakes down like that, man, that would be a lot. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like I would give it my best against you, but I wouldn't like feel bad to lose to any of you.
Sure, well, especially me, because I'm so good. Like, I mean, yeah. It's really no shame in it, John.
Well, I don't know. You took a break for a long time, and you're still working your way back.
I am. So. That's true. Well, plus I'm blacklisted from comedy too, so it's tough for me to get gigs, John.
I think.
The powers that be have decided that I'm not welcome.
I don't think you're more blacklisted than I am.
Well, no, but you're only blacklisted because I am.
Well, yeah, but fundamentally it still works the same.
Oh, sure.
Are you, speaking of which, are you going to be going back to Chuckles anytime soon?
Man, I don't know. I just heard yesterday that they're starting a weekly open mic there. Yeah. That chuckles on Monday nights. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, Shane was talking about it on Friday.
Oh, he was, eh? So I'm going to have him on my podcast tomorrow night, actually. I'm going to have Shane on, and yeah, I'll find out the particulars.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm actually, Ian and I have been really working hard to get a weekly open mic going at the pub down under, but it looks like it's probably going to start as a bi-weekly open mic.
Yeah. Well, let's take a song break, and then we'll come back and talk more about that and kind of what we want that to look like. What kind of music are you into?
The good kind, mostly. Kind, so nothing you kind. Listen to, but I mean, it's.
Let's.
Well, you don't like Clutch, right? Yeah. Well, let's throw on some Clutch.
I don't have any Clutch queued up, I can play a new Mastodon song. They've toured with Clutch. I've seen
Mastodon's
them on
all right.
Co-headline.
Yeah, all right. They're all right.
Are you saying all right is like they're meh, or like all right is in okay? It's not Clutch, but I'll take it.
Absolutely, second one.
All right. Well, I'll give you two choices. We've got either Mastodon new song or a new song by 6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under. No idea who they are. Let's go Mastodon.
The 6 Feet Under is the Chris Barnes from Cannibal Corpse's side band.
Oh, you sold me there.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's hear some exploratory homicide.
Nice.
From 6 Feet Under on St. John Forward Radio. We'll be back with Mark Splood in a little bit.
We are back
after some exploratory homicide.
Good tune.
Yeah, I was just telling Mark Spood they do a lot of AC/DC covers. They've got a really good version of TNT that I'll have to play sometime. But good times. We're hearing initial rumblings about a weekly open mic show at Chuckles over in Parkway, and you've also been thinking about doing one at the pub down under.
I mean, this scene needs weekly open mics to grow. You know, yeah. if you look at Halifax, and obviously their scene's much older than ours is, but that, you know, they have a weekly open mic every night of the week there.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's every night, is it not?
It's debatable whether you'd consider them all to be open mics or not. There's one that's like in the same way that my O'Leary's show is in an open mic, but it's still another opportunity for people. But yeah, Sundays there's Toothy Moose, and Monday Andrew Vaughn's Mega Comedy Monday.
Well, listen, let's not plug all the Halifax shows right here, yeah. John. All right, they're getting enough exposure.
Then there's Tuesday, a show that neither of us will ever be allowed to do.
Yeah. Why? What did I do? I didn't even do anything, John. You drag me into these beefs, John. That's something else I want to talk to you about. You keep dragging me into these beefs. You get me blacklisted from the entire comedy community. I think I know what it is. I think you want me to perform solely on No Jokes Barred. And I get it. I get it. I'm a talented guy. But you got to share me, John.
Well, it's not so much that I want you all to myself. It's that if I get you blacklisted on all the other shows, that's just more opportunities for me to perform.
Oh, this is a two-tier scam. I see what's going on here. All right.
So, yeah, I get people out to my shows because I'm the exclusive carrier of Mark's Blued Comedy.
It's a good product.
And, yeah, and I get to do other shows that you don't want to or aren't allowed to.
Well, I appreciate your candor, John. Yeah, man,
I've got it locked on going to the U.S. already.
Yeah. we almost got an F-bomb here on the St. John Ford radio show.
Oh, Sam Liebman dropped a couple.
Oh, did he? Yeah, nice. Yeah, we need a weekly open mic, you know, and so I want to try to do that. And Pub Down Under is such a great venue, too, for comedy, right? I mean, we did the roast of St. John Ford there.
Yeah, and they told me, like, anytime I wanted to do something, they'd put some money and we'd do a show. Like,
yeah.
So in addition to, like, an open mic, I think, like, if we just wanted to do a show.
Yeah, just
like,
an off-brand show. Just
on, like, a Friday or Saturday night that they don't already have booked, that's an option. That would be a good place to do something like that.
I think so, too, and I think it'd be a good place, like, you know, if Darren Frost or Kathleen McGee or someone like that is coming through town and looking for, you know, a smaller show to fill their time, that would be a good venue for that, too. Especially if we can build a small audience with the weekly shows, right? Or bi-weekly
and
shows.
And just for ourselves, I still think whether we decide to go with the Port City Stooges or not, I think you, me, and Arif should have, like, we should be a comedy combo, and we could go to, like, various bars around St. John and be like, give us some money and we'll do a show for your people and you sell the tickets.
Yeah. Well, that'd be nice, especially if they sell the tickets. I have no interest, you know, in promoting a show or trying to move tickets or anything like that. That's
I think it's worth looking into. I think we could go to a bar and just say, give us X number of dollars and we'll put on a show, and it's up to you if you want to sell tickets or have a cover charge or whatever. But
yeah.
Give us X amount of money, and it's your problem to make it back.
I think it's a good idea. I think we're going to have Grassroots Grill probably as a quarterly show at least.
Yeah.
We just got to build more shows. You know what I mean? We don't have to mend any fences or repair the bridges with anybody. We just need to you know, start making our own shows here.
Yeah. Well, some of those bridges extend beyond what our scope is. And that's
sure they do.
But,
yeah, well.
Oh, well. It's... You just keep going, and I figure I was talking to Marty D on Friday, and he gave some good advice. Just there's no point in just worrying about all that stuff. Just wait it out and keep doing our thing.
Yeah, just keep doing comedy.
It'll work itself out.
That's the thing with the blacklist. I mean, no one can stop you or I from doing comedy. You know, that's the great thing about comedy, right? No one can stop you from this venue or that show or whatever, but they can't stop you. You can do comedy wherever the heck you want to, you know?
Yeah, and especially with all the power that I wield having a Monday night campus radio show, this extends out, and there's a lot of people that are probably listening to this right now.
Well, yeah, but you're a comedy icon here. I mean, you run two separate shows, and you have a radio show, right?
Yeah, I still feel like the average person doesn't know who I am in St. John, especially compared to other people that have front page stories written about them about the same topic for several years.
But you know what? You know what's funny is that, you know, if you ask anybody to name a comedian from this area, the average person doesn't even know there's comedy going on here.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, so we live inside the bubble. So, you know, for us, it's like, well, they're getting more press than we get and whatever. But really, nobody's, no comics are well known in this area.
Well, and even not just for the sake of the general public, though, but more concerned, like this blacklisting nonsense has more of an effect when, like, CBC rolls into town or Just for Laughs rolls into town looking to see what's going on around here on the local scene, and if the gatekeeper is somebody that has some kind of vendetta against certain people, then those people just never find out that that we exist.
That we exist, yeah, absolutely. Despite the fact that we've gone on those people's stages and annihilated,
yeah,
you know, in the past, right? But whatever, I mean, it's all... Listen, man, there's terrible people in every aspect of life, right? That's just the way it is. So, yeah. But speaking of Marty D, I thought I really felt bad for Marty D Friday because he seemed to struggle with our girl who was in the crowd. Who was a little chatty.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about that. That was the most Arbar flavored O'Leary's show I think that has happened.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty mild. I mean, this girl was talking, but she also had laryngitis. He's a heckler with laryngitis.
That might just be her voice. I don't know. Did she?
No. She said she had laryngitis. Yeah. That's when I started applauding.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't catch that. But yeah. So we had this one very inebriated woman who, when questioned, said that she had 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 beers. And it was kind of weird because everybody else there was kind of part of our little comedy club, and we all knew everybody that was there.
Yeah.
And had been to shows, and just there was this one extra person that was kind of visiting, and all the attention was on her for sure.
Yeah, because, big time. Yeah, she was an interloper. I mean, everybody else there knew each other, right?
Yeah.
And she comes in and starts talking immediately, and you could tell as soon as she came in that she was going to be the show.
Yeah.
You know, she made that pretty clear as soon as she came in. She didn't shut up for a second, you know. No. And but I felt bad for Marty because he couldn't find a way to use it. And it's happened to me before, too. You know, up at Wilser's, I almost, you know, punched that guy in the face.
Yeah.
And it ruined my set, and I walked off the stage. So I felt bad for Marty not being able to use it. He kept trying to restart bits and stuff, and I felt bad for him. But I thought you and Shane, in particular, did a great job dealing with her.
Yeah, I addressed her a little bit right out the gate for both of them, but then once I got started on my thing, I just kind of barreled through it.
Yeah,
just pretended like she wasn't talking.
Yeah, you just ran her right over.
Yeah,
yeah.
And sometimes that's all I need. Like, but if you stop and talk to her every time that she pipes in, that's just not going to stop. But if
no, that's going to be the show.
You can't also completely ignore it. So I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully she comes back, John. You know, hopefully she comes back and she's a little more sober.
She found us on Facebook. Shane posted the picture and somebody tagged her in it. So she added me on Facebook. So,
oh, you're kidding.
So she'll be getting invites to...
someone recognized her and tagged her in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so brought her right into the loop. I got to invite her to like my John Forward comedy page on Facebook.
Dude, you got to invite her to St. John Forward Radio is what you got to do, man. You got to get her on the airwaves.
Yeah, there's lots of people I should get in here. I should have her, and I thought about bringing the owner of the R Bar in, maybe the owner from O'Leary's, just to talk about... Like, they're not right in there, but I'm just curious to have the conversation, well, about the bar in general, because it's a historic St. John site, the R Bar in particular.
Sure.
But just, I don't know, compare notes on what his expectations were when I first started. And
oh, that'd be an interesting show.
How it's shaped up since then. And
yeah.
I don't know. Talk about bartenders. He's probably not going to want to talk about bartenders getting smashed in the face.
Well, maybe bring the bartender in and interview her, you know, separately about that incident. That was a crazy night. I'm sure you've talked about it on this show before, but...
I'm not sure if I did. But if I didn't, just the quick version is, after the last R Bar show, the comedy people are actually very well-behaved.
Yeah, that was a great show.
The karaoke people are a little bit much, and we hung around for a half hour to an hour after the comedy show ended, and they started karaoke up again, and My wife May wanted to leave because she just was tired, but there also seemed to be trouble afoot.
It was a brewing.
People were starting to get a little aggressive, but I guess like 10, 15 minutes after we left, a fight broke out between some girls, and the bartender asked them to leave, and instead of leaving, they smashed her in the face with a beer bottle.
Yeah, and they destroyed her nose. It was wild. And I didn't sense or see any of that storm coming, or I would have got my wife out of there as well.
I didn't notice either.
No, and we don't normally stay. You know what we're like? Usually when the comedy's over, we're 10 minutes and we're out the door.
Yeah.
And that was a wild night at the R Bar. Yeah, two girls got bottled that night, but specifically the bartender, she got hurt. She got hurt. But, you work at the R Bar on a Saturday night. It's, not a safe place to be.
Could be. They need to get rid of those karaoke, and they need to have comedy nights every night of the week.
See?
At the R Bar.
I agree.
That could be our open mic every night of the week, all at the same place.
It wouldn't be as special if it was every night of the week, you know?
Yeah, it needs to be its thing. But
what's going on with the crowds at O'Leary's? How come we're not getting people out? Man, those shows used to be, pretty well attended.
I would say in the whole history, I think Friday night's turnout is more typical than than not. But previous to this, the last the anniversary show back in November, and then December again in January too, I think they were all packed houses upstairs.
Yeah.
Last month, I thought maybe it was just because I forgot to put the Facebook ad out until like Friday afternoon, which isn't helpful, and that might have made the difference. But I had the ad out earlier this week. But
yeah, and everybody was sharing it around. I saw, and didn't translate to many people showing up there at all.
No.
But then again, downstairs in O'Leary's, there were exactly two people there.
Yeah,
and one was playing the VLTs, and I think the other one was the bartender's brother. So it wasn't really a busy night downtown anyway, or uptown or whatever.
Yeah, it might have been just a slow night. I don't know. Maybe Yuck Yucks is eating at it. Who knows?
If people
are looking to go out on a Friday night.
Who was at Yuck Yucks? Well, Garrett Clark was at Yuck Yucks that
night.
Yeah,
he was recording his album, so that was a big to-do if you care about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I don't know if we were talking about this earlier. I'm still trying to make my way onto that stage. I'm still not burning a bridge. I've heard rumors that imply that it might be more difficult than would usually be necessary to get on there, but I'm still working at it, and we'll see. I think if I get on it, will I be the... I was thinking about this earlier, that if I'm the first born in St. John person to be on that stage, I don't know if anyone else has, but part of me started thinking, like, well, James Mullinger has done it, and is it really a valid distinction to add in, like, the born in St. John? Is this some weird, like, racist thing against England that I'm doing? Like, oh, he's not really one of us.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you're othering James Mullinger.
He is a true St. Johner, and I don't want to take that away from him.
No.
But, I don't know. I think it's worth making the distinction if I am the first born and raised St. John person to hit that stage. And
yeah.
As far as I know, it hasn't happened yet.
If you do hit that stage, you got to know that you're out of the cool kids club, right? I mean, it's...
Once
you cross that line, John...
I'm not going to be able to get on those sweet weeknight open mics at the pub down
there. No, that's right. And you're not even going to be able to run No Jokes Bar anymore. We can't let you run that anymore if you're crossing enemy lines, John. I mean, figure it out.
They might not be an enemy. It's just...
They're not an enemy, man. They're just doing comedy down the road.
It's another
and they
show.
Got their clique of people, and that's who they put up so far. I think we got to give it more time to see how it plays out, right?
Yeah, it would be nice as being not the sole part. I had a role in like building up the scene that we have that allows
huge
them
role,
to
John.
Exist.
Yeah, your modesty is it's ridiculous here. You've had a huge role in the comedy scene here and continue to.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't feel...
I mean, you're not funny, but you're doing big things for comedy here, you know?
Yeah, and I try to be a terrible comedian just to make everybody else look that much better. Because
yeah, see,
I'm,
that's a good promoter.
I'm a selfless,
that's the good promoter
selfless
in you.
Guy. So, yeah. Well, we're at 9:55. We've got 5 minutes left.
No callers.
So, I forgot to give out the phone number.
Oh,
I gave it on Facebook. We probably could have had RF come in and yell at me for my nudity, but we're running low on time. So, do you have anything you want to plug? You've said you've got the Splodcast hasn't been coming out consistently.
Has not been coming out consistently. I'm going to try to fix that. I'm kind of retooling it. I fell out of love with it a little bit. It's hard to find a good guest, John. You know, it's hard to find an intriguing guest. You know, some people I've had on my, and I'm not obviously not going to say names, but some people, like, you got to beat, you know, you got to beat them to death to kind of get into a conversation, you know, rather than just yes or no answers. I don't want to have an interview show. I want to talk to people like we're doing right now, but it makes it difficult. So anyways, but I'm trying to get it back on. I got Brian Godso. That's dropping this Thursday, and then I'll have Shane Ogden next week. So, yeah, big things coming on the Splodcast, bud.
Right. So you can find that on SoundCloud, or I think you've got it cross-posted on iTunes, so you can find it on your various stuff. Any other shows or anything?
No, I'm not. No, I've got no shows booked except an R-Bar show in 2 months.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you what a fair booker that I am. I said no to Mark Splood this month. For the sake of...
That doesn't make you special, John.
Well, it makes me special in my own head.
Well, so, you are special.
I gave preference to people that hadn't been on last month's show. So this month's R-Bar show on the 18th, I believe. I need to make an event for that on Facebook. Yeah, March 18th is going to be the next R-Bar comedy show. It will be all different people that... That were not on last month, except for me, of course. And next month, No Jokes Bar Deluxe is on the first Friday, whatever that is. I don't have anybody booked on that. Do you want to do that one?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
With
so my next show is going to be at O'Leary's.
It's going to be on April
2nd.
April. It's going to be the 7th.
7th?
The 1st is a Saturday.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Beautiful.
So April 7th, No Jokes Bar Deluxe. That's going to be... I did my botched headline gig last April. Maybe I should redo that same set
at
O'Leary's.
Why not?
All right, exclusive announcement.
Can't wait.
I'm probably going to dial back on the sound and lighting and video cues.
Well, we'll talk about that.
I'll do the material. So we'll do that, and it'll not be nearly as bad as the Boardwalk Bomb. there was nothing wrong with the material.
Oh, shoot, we should have talked about that, too. Well, we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, we need to have RF in here, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, shoot. This is my last week of stress leave. I need to look at that and see if I can cobble together something that's worth releasing. And
yeah. Then,
maybe we'll have a talk about it whenever I'm ready to put out the edited version of that on YouTube. And we'll need to film an outro for it of some sort.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just give you the Cole's notes of whatever's left of the performance that... We never got the live commentary for, and we'll see if he had anything to throw in there. But I was thinking everybody seemed to enjoy that. Maybe I could unearth some old. I don't have anything else that old, but like I've got video from like the first ever R-Bar show. We could do some commentary on that.
Lots of
joke book nonsense.
And, yeah.
I don't know. We could find something to do.
Big things coming up, John.
Do some live commentary, but... Anyway, so the R-Bar is the third Saturday every month. No Jokes Barred, No Jokes Barred Deluxe is the first Friday of the month. This show that you're listening to, St. John Forward Radio, is live every Monday, 9 till 10 o'clock, Atlantic time, 107.3 FM in St. John, local FM online. Show gets repeated on Friday nights at 10 o'clock, I think, and it gets reposted on johnforward.com on the Wednesday. And coming up next, if you're listening live, is Starstruck on local FM. And we'll be back next week. Have a good night.
Free the weed, baby.